I want to ask you a question today. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? Now just think about it just for a moment. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? And I believe that God wants us to just think along these lines. It's time to pass over. It's time to go on to what God has for you. It's time for us to take the foot off the brakes, put faith in gear in our life, and go forward to what God would do. Now, as we look at this, it's time to pass over. I really believe this is a message and a challenge from God. It's already challenged my heart. I heard a message the other night that got me thinking along these lines. And just one anointed message can just change the rest of your life. I want you to look with me to Joshua, the third chapter. Let's look at verse 13. Joshua chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan. That's talking about getting your feet wet. That the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it shall come to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So Jordan is overflowing, it's time of harvest, and there's a key here that when the feet of leadership was placed in the water, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until the people were passed, sounds like a Texas expression, clean over Jordan. Just clean over. That sounds like Texan, doesn't it? Until the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua. It came to pass when all the people. Let me tell you something. It's God's will for you to pass over to God's greater blessings. You may feel like you're one of the quiet ones or one of the least ones, and there is no such thing. Some are more vocal, some are more visible. But how many know everyone's valuable and precious in the kingdom of God? It's God's will for you to pass over and to go on to what God has promised you. Now that's wonderful, and I'd like to stay there, but let's go back to Exodus, the third chapter. It's the burning bush experience. Moses, the has-been, the fugitive, the runaway from Egypt. On the backside of the desert, he thinks it's all over. Nothing will ever happen to him again. And so he's doing the honorable thing. He's working, starting a family, moving on with the rest of his life. Someone wisely said that Moses spent the first 40 years of his life thinking he was somebody. The second 40 years of his life finding out he was nobody outside of God. And the third 40 years of his life finding out that you can do all things if God's hand is on your life. Really, the story of Moses' life, his life begins at 80. And you thought it was all over. You thought it was too late. But 40 years old, he was too young to know what to do with the rest of his life. That ought to tell you something. 40 years of age and he was too young to know what to do, at least for him. I'm not saying that everyone in that category is that particular situation. But Moses was too young, too energetic, too bombastic, too given to a knee jerk, too unpredictable. And he did something that caused him to have to flee from Egypt. Now you say, was that in God's plan? I'm not going to argue that point, but I'm just telling you what happened. Then for another 40 years, he goes through a period of time thinking it's all over. It's all over for me, never be used again. But one day, This is what I love about God. God knows where you are. And God knows why you are. And God knows where He wants you to be. And Moses is just working on a job. I salute him for that. He wasn't trained for that in the palaces. But Moses was doing the honorable thing. He was doing what he could do. And getting on with starting a family. And of course had a companion and a father-in-law. And was out on the backside of the desert. And in the most impossible situation and time of Moses' life, a bush began to burn. You know, God's awesome. What is this thing? What is this burning bush? What's going on in my life? No excitement, no thrills, no prince of Egypt. I'm a man, I'm a working man, I'm a rancher, have a wife, have a father-in-law, I'm raising a family. But what is this burning bush? And he goes over to check it out. God begins to talk to him out of a burning bush. And of course you know the story how that God spoke to him and challenged him to lead his people out of Egypt. And you know that Moses said, I'm not able. I can't do it. He had all kinds of excuses. But God spoke to him. All right, now that's Exodus chapter 3. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 6. In Exodus chapter 6, God renews His call with Moses loud and clear. I mean, God comes on the scene and God renews who Moses is and what all of this is all about. And God comes to Moses. You say, why? Did you ever get something just zinging in your spirit? And you tried to share it with the most spiritual friend you have and you felt like a fool. Joseph shared his dream with the wrong folks at the wrong time and it got him in a pit. Almost cost his life except for the grace of God. So there's the burning bush. Moses, this is what you're to do the rest of your life. And it's not moving too quickly. And so here in the sixth chapter, in fact, he told him even in that third chapter, it's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey. I have a plan for your life. It's a good plan. It's a plan that flows with milk and honey. But now over to the sixth chapter. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 1, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand to let them go, and with a strong hand he'll drive them out of the land. And God spake unto Moses and said, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name, Jehovah, was I not known then. Now, if you'll notice, God told him, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Verse 7, I'm going to take you to be for a people, and I'll be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I swear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you. Now, you may be in the most boring time of your life, but God's not asleep and God has not forgotten. You may be in an in-between time. That's always the tough time on international travel. There's the excitement and they close the door and everybody's revved up about going somewhere. But you know, when you stay on one of those birds about 13 hours, it all begins to change. And then you got one thought on your mind. How many times have I asked a flight attendant, how much longer do we have? And they give you that look like everybody wants to know. And so now, thank God, on many of those international planes, they just put it up there so you won't have to ask them all the time. We experienced that going to Israel. You know, it just the readout's there. And you have 5 hours and 40 minutes, you know, something of that nature. Well, God's speaking here, and God's reminding them that I have a plan for your life. It's a good plan, and it's a land that flows with milk and honey. God has something for you better than where you are. Where you are is not the final destination. And don't let the circumstances of the now cloud your vision to what God's called you to do. You know, really, God doesn't look at age as such. God looks at the willingness of the heart. There has to be some level of faith and obedience. It's amazing. God's used so many different people in so many different ways. All right, the burning bush, God speaks. Exodus 6, God comes and renews his call and covenant. I don't know about you, but every once in a while, I just need that thrust of the Holy Ghost in my heart saying, go for it, Bob. It may come through a song, it may come through a service like this, or it may come through visiting, you know, a meeting or something of that nature. But every once in a while, I just need that extra something of God that says, it's not over. The best is yet to come. Get your faith antennas up. As your faith is, so be it unto you. Boy, have you ever talked to someone whose faith had been sabotaged? I did the other day. I've talked to two or three people. Their faith has been totally sabotaged. And man, it's like talking to a concrete wall. Folks, it's not over. Then in Exodus 14, they finally make up their mind, maybe Moses and God know what they're talking about, so let's give it a try. How long? Well, there'll be a day. I can't tell you today. Maybe that's what it's all about. Don't you? How many times do you think they came up to Moses and said, Moses, how long? How long? How long? All right, here we are, Exodus 14. It's Exodus Day. Passover number one, time to Passover. And you know, when Passover time comes, there's always two things that you have to deal with. The Pharaohs, they're the bad guys. But the voices of doubt and unbelief who have on the garb of the good guys. You know Pharaoh when he's coming with his chariots and horses, but it's that voice of doubt and fear and unbelief. And I mean, even before they passed over, they said, Moses, take us back to Egypt. We want some onions. We want some garlic. Well, both are great. Not very good for prayer lines, but I mean, both are great. I was somewhere the other day. I wanted to get into one of those big old purple onions, but I knew that I'd have a prayer line like I'd never had before if I ate those onions. So I tried to be nice. When you're trying to do something for God, you know what the Pharaoh's going to say. You know what the devil's going to say. You're too young, you're too old, you can't do it. Forget it. But boy, it's those voices of unbelief of people that ought to know better. That have heard what you've heard and have experienced what you've experienced. Been where you've been. But they didn't get a grip on what you have. Now, so Passover number one, passing over the waters or pass through, you could call it either way. 40 years later for Moses. And remember, there will always be opposition to God's best in your life. But remember, for every problem, God has a covenant promise. For every Pharaoh, God has a covenant promise. For every problem, God has a covenant promise. People need some hope. People need some help. People need someone to say, life is worth living. Life's tough enough without the negativisms. For every problem, God has a covenant promise. For every Pharaoh, God has a promise. Then we go further over to, and we're looking here at Numbers 13 and 14. All right, they passed over. By the grace of God, they passed over. Man, they hardly got over until they got into it. And you remember the story about Aaron and Miriam and all kind of stuff. If you've worked in churches, you understand that very well. But now let's go to Numbers chapters 13 and 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, it's time to pass over, folks. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? What if today God is saying, get your faith antennas up? What if today God is saying, get your hopes up? But the Lord said unto Moses, there are times of opportunity when God says something, and it's so important to obey God. Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Now, notice this. God Almighty says, I want you to send men and even put their names in there. 12 men were chosen, and send them to the promised land, or send them to the land that I will show you. All right, choose men, send men, that they may search the land of Canaan. Now this is a no-brainer here in the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 20. And the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Go search the land that I give. God said, go search the land that I give. I've already given you the land. Go see your real estate. He did not authorize them to go over and form a committee of telling the children of Israel why they couldn't do it. This is like God giving a test and giving you the answers at the same time. Such a teacher. It wasn't a hard test. It was a faith test. God said, go see the land. Choose men. Go see with your eyes the land. The land that I give. I know it's simple, but we miss it. He didn't say the land that you're going to have to labor and, oh, it's going to be a terrible ordeal. Yeah, it's been a challenge since the storm, but I've even had ministers say, Brother Nichols, we know you're going through a terrible ordeal. Well, it's been challenging, but it's not terrible. We're not victims, we're overcomers. Yeah, it's been a challenge. I'll tell you the truth, it has been a challenge. And several aspects of it have been more challenging than other things. But thank God there's a place to go. Thank God there's a way to go. Thank God there's a plan. Thank God we have a place to go. And we're there. And you know what God said? God said, go see your 17 acres. I want you to blink your eyes and see it like I see it. Go from 12 to 17. Go from 12 acres to 17. Go search the land which I give unto you. And I am not going to be caught on the next point. And they brought up an evil report. How can you fail a test when the master teacher gives you the answers? One hand the test, and it's legal for you to have the answers in the other hand. And the teacher said, here's the test, and here's the answers, and you flunk. Whoa, that is dense. Something's missing. There's a test. It's an awesome test. But here's the answers. You know what God is saying? It's not over yet. There's hills to climb. There are things to do, but I've already promised you the answer, and success is yours. Why do we get so spiritual about stuff like this and we can't bring it to where we live right now? Same thing, same principle. God gave 12 men a test and gave them the correct answers, and only two of them passed the test. Now, who are the two spies that passed the test? Joshua and Caleb. Now, without opening your Bible, I'll give a $20 bill to anyone that can give me the name of the other 10. Don't you open your Bible. Don't touch that dial. I read them, but I don't have a clue. Their names are too hard to even try to remember. And their spirits, I don't want to remember. So the two that passed the test, we still know who they are, and we preach about them all the time. Joshua and Caleb. Caleb and Joshua. But the other 10, who cares? Man, if God's upset about you, you better leave him alone. I found that out in church situations, church. If God's upset about something, you just better say bye-bye and let it go. Don't get your hand on something God's upset about. Boy, there's times God's delivered us, and I thought, oh God, what are we going to do? And then I found out what was going on. I said, God, how did we make it when they were here? Whoa. God hath delivered us. What is an evil report? We can't do what God said we can do. What does God call an evil report? I didn't call it an evil report. God said it was an evil report. When you say, I'm too young, I'm too old, I can't do what God said I can do. An evil report is when we say, I can't do what God said I can do. When you open your Bible and say, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but I'm so tired, someone always sticking the word under my nose. Man, that's kept me alive for years. An evil report is when we say, I can't do what God says I can do. You know, really, faith is not such a big deal. It's just believing that God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. If God be for us, who can be against us? I've had people that are not even in our particular camp of belief and so on say, you know, watching what God has done for you folks since the storm has made a new believer out of me. You can't put this kind of a thing together. God's done it. This thing's so supernatural, we better just give God all the glory and go on down the road. But 40 years. We don't live as long as they did, but even if you did, 40 years is a long time to waste. 40 years, 40 days, 40 hours is a long time to waste. For 40 years, a generation wandered in the wilderness, and how many days would it have taken to have gone in? 3 days, something of that nature. How in the world can you be as blind as a bat, wandering in circles, because when you don't believe God, nothing else makes sense. When you don't believe the promises of God, you don't know the right highway. You don't know the right road. Man, you're as lost can be. Because the only way through the wilderness is to believe that God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. 40 years. I've been studying on that this week, and I said, by the grace of God, it's very apparent I don't have 40 years to lose, and neither do you. If you're young, you don't have 40 years to lose. None of us have 40 years to lose. And the way you don't lose 40 years is to say, I believe God. I believe everything's going to be all right. In spite of pain, in spite of lack, in spite of frustration, in spite of this, in spite of that, regardless of the circumstances of life, I believe that I'm going to be a strong finisher. I said I'm going to be a strong finisher. I'm not going to go with the finish line pitiful, complaining, telling you what somebody did to me. In the name of Jesus, let's rise from Joseph's pit and let's go from the pit to the palace. The decision is ours. Even back in Numbers 13 and 14, let me give you four ways to possess the land, to pass over. First of all, don't be a rebel. Be a believer. Anyone can doubt. Number one, don't be a rebel. Be a believer. Anyone can doubt. You know, if I was having coffee, I'd rather have coffee with a positive thinker any day. If they're not even born again. I mean, did you ever get locked in with someone that you just said, my God, if I never get out of this situation. Let the phone ring. Hit me in the head, God. Do something. Get me out of this. Man, you hang around doubt and unbelief, you'll go down like a rock. Sure you will. So don't be a rebel. Secondly, and this is what God had to say over in Numbers. I'm just trying to hit the high points of it. It's in the 14th chapter of Numbers. And verse 9, God's already said in verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and he'll give it to us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. And remember, God's principle is the best comes last. You think it's good now, or you think it's bad now. Remember, God's principle is the best comes last. The longer you go, the stronger you get. It's like an old Ford I used to have. Man, you'd turn the key off and it wouldn't stop. It said, I have another mind. It just keep on running. You turn the key off. It run a little hot anyway. You turn the key off, man, it just kept going. Listen to me. If your faith is in God, the principle of God is the best comes last. The best is yet to come. That's not a cute clichéism. That's reality. All right? Don't be a rebel. Only rebel ye not against the Lord. Don't be a rebel. Verse 9. Neither fear ye the people. Don't be afraid. Fear and doubt will steal your future. Fear and doubt will steal your future. I mean, we have some people in this room today that have had some real heartache this week. I know I'm their pastor. Tough stuff. I can't explain it. I don't have all the answers. But I can sit face to face, pulpit to parishioner, or sit in your home and tell you I may not understand, but I know the God who holds tomorrow, and as sure as God made little green apples, your world may have exploded in your face this week, but I promise you if you'll keep your faith in God, God's going to bring you through. God's going to bring you out. God's going to bring you out on the high side of victory. The best part about that is it's true. I mean, sometimes preachers get people excited on certain things that may or may not be right on. But I'm telling you what, I'm giving you the word of God. First of all, don't be a rebel. Refuse to be a rebel. Be a believer. Say it with me, I am a believer. Number two, don't fear. Fear and doubt will steal your future. Number three, and he went on to say this, for their defense is departed from them. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The enemy's already defeated. Whether you believe that or not, whether I believe that or not, the enemy is already defeated. Oh, that's so good. That's better than good. The enemy is already defeated. And the final point that I see here in the 14th chapter of Numbers and verse 9. And the Lord is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord's with us. He's with you in a hospital room. He's with you in prison. He's with you on the freeway, the highway, the airway. God's with you regardless of what your age is. The Lord is with you. That's better than me being with you. That's better than you being with me. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. So let me read that. Numbers 14, 9. Number one, don't be a rebel. Rebel you not against the Lord. Number two, neither fear the people of the land. Fear and doubt will steal God's future for you. Don't fear the people of the land, for they're bread for us. And their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Now, you're not going to believe this. You are not going to believe this, but I want you to follow me. Let's go to verse 10. You talk about joy killers, joy suckers. But all, thank God I don't have a church like this, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. There may be one, two, or three, or four, or five, or six. But all the people said, I mean, the guy just got through giving a word from God, an encouraging word. You can make it. And when he got through, they started picking up stones and said, you're not for long. That would be funny if it wasn't surreal, but it cost them 40 years. Cost them 40 years. What are you going to do? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? That's a good question, isn't it? What are we going to do with the rest of our life? I ask myself that question. In view of just these promises that God gave, God said, I've already given you a land that flows with milk and honey. Forget how it looks now. Forget how it feels now. Forget the symptoms now. Forget lack and poverty and craziness now. Look at the Word. Don't be a rebel. Don't fear. Your enemies are a defeated foe and the Lord is with you. And you follow that by saying, let us pick up stones. The Lord is with us. 40 years passed. It's God's time for us to pass on and pass over. It's time for us to get on with the rest of our life. Let's move past death and divorce, and business failure, failures in friends and people and all that kind of a thing. If you live long enough, it's going to happen to all of us. And when you deal with a bunch of people, it's going to happen more often than it would normally happen. Let's get on with our lives. Let's don't spend the rest of our lives in the pit of fear and despondency and negativism. It's God's time to pass over, to pass on to God's best and to God's will. You know, there's bound to be someone that wouldn't understand giving, and I understand that. I didn't receive a revelation on giving till just even a few years ago. But you know, when you really understand the principles of giving, what happened here in this service today is one of the greatest potential breakthroughs. We have testimonies all over this room of people who have given, and God changed their quality of life, changed their children, their grandchildren. I mean, we had a lady that said, I was wrestling with a $5 water bill when I came into this house. And the other day, she wrote a check for $20,000 for something. Wrestling with a $5 water bill. Water about to be turned off. A little over $5. And now was able to write a $20,000 check for something. The Word works. It's time to give like we've never given. You know, let's look at it like you said, well, Brother Nichols, I just want to give it all away. What you going to keep? How much you going to leave behind? Everything you didn't send before. Trump of God sent. What you going to save? What you going to keep? The only thing you're going to save is what you sent before. And it's not all money. It's obedience. Yeah. It's time to give. Hey, don't worry about stuff. You know, folks, we're stronger than we realize we are. We're more far-reaching than we realize we are. More has been done in the kingdom than we give credit for. I really don't understand all that God has done and is doing and will be doing, but I know it's bigger than big and it's greater than great. One day we'll get to heaven, and I believe there's going to be a special reward for Calvary Cathedral International. And God said, God bless that church that stepped up to the plate and did what no other church has ever done before in a third world nation in the way that they've done it. God bless the faithful in our city, in our world. And with this came to me just this week. I was talking to God about school. You know, churches are built every day. New churches, at least there's a lot of them being built right now in the greater metroplex area. Churches are built all the time. And unless you've got the mega millions to put up a crystal cathedral, or I know we were down in Florida the other day and I saw Coral Gables. Man, that thing at night looks like the New Jerusalem coming down. Big white towers, and I could see it from the Marriott where we were staying, and I just go out on the balcony and I said, boy, that just inspires me to see a tower of righteousness. And the man is a man of righteousness, and he is a patriot of this nation. But unless you've got the money to, you know, to do something of that stature, I don't know what the Crystal Cathedral cost, but I know it was $100 million, something like that. It was way out there. And it's built, and it's been built for a long time. Well, God didn't call us to build a crystal cathedral, but he called us to build Calvary Cathedral International. And there's no problem. Each of us have our own calling. But you know, God just said, you know, when you build a first-class, state-of-the-art Christian school with born-again, spirit-filled teachers, that's something that's not built every day. That's something that's not built every day. If you only understood that statement I just got through making. Churches are built all the time. No matter what we do inside this, they drive by and they either like us or they don't like us. They either celebrate us or they don't. But I want to tell you, when you put up a first-class, state-of-the-art Christian school with born-again, spirit-filled believers and leadership in that school, we're making a statement to the community for righteousness. We're making a statement to the community for righteousness. It's not going to be hidden inside of a church building. It's going to be its own separate building over there. All kinds of schools are in buildings. That's where we've been, where we are right now. I remember walking out when I was on TBN one night from the hotel before I went on, after coming in from guest, and I saw the most magnificent cross I've ever seen in my life. Didn't realize it was on top of the building of the Crystal Cathedral. The other day down in Florida to help our precious missionaries, I couldn't tell you when I drove down that street, a lot of things going on in my heart. And I looked at this big, magnificent white structure lit up at night. And I said, thank God, a tower of hope, tower of hope. But oh, all of us have our own way of doing what God calls us to do. You just wait. We're going to make a statement to the community. Churches are built all the time. You can't outbuild the churches that are being built in the Metroplex. We don't have the mega millions that some churches have. Praise God for it. That's not what God called us to do. But praise God, there will be a school building. There will be a testimony to righteousness that when people drive by, they say, I've seen a lot of church buildings, but look at that. That's a Christian school. First class. State of the art. Hallelujah. And we would have had to have built part of it back anyway, according to the insurance. All it's costing us is what we would have had to have added and the additions in the gym and so on. What am I saying? Get ready, get ready, get ready. Now is the time. We are the people, and this is the place.